I may try to be sensitive to time this morning, but I want to obey God. I know He's given me a word. The song service confirmed it. And I know in my spirit that He has deposited a word in my heart for those of you that have come this morning. So let's be sensitive to what the Spirit is speaking this morning and open up our hearts to what God has for us. In the book of 2 Samuel, in chapter 23, and when you get it, say amen. Are we awake this morning? Praise the Lord. It's good to see the house of the Lord filled up this morning with children and with visitors. And so glad to see folks coming into the house of the Lord. Amen. So many other places we could be today. Many are down at the beach after these rainy days. They ran down to the beach today. Talking about Christians. Skip church and go down to the beach. But I would rather be here in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. No greater place to be but in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying my heart's desire is to not forsake the assembling of myself together with my brothers and sisters, especially as we see the day of the Lord approaching. Amen. Amen. We don't need to be forsaking coming together because God always has something for us. Amen. Probably a story in the Bible that you've read a few times, but just read right over. David is here in a place of fighting the Philistines. The Philistines have taken up their troop in Jerusalem. David is outside of Jerusalem, King David, and he is in what they call a stronghold, a place of safety and protection, getting ready to engage in battle. This was the time of the harvest time, so it was a warm time in the season, weather-wise. How many of us know it's hard to get anything done when it's too cold? Folks from Canada could agree to that. When it's cold, it's hard to get things done. We got a little bit of that cold air coming down from up from Canada and blows down here, so we got a little taste of how it is here in New Hampshire. And it's also very difficult to get anything done when it's too hot. Get too hot and too sticky and humid, and it's difficult to work. These men were in battle. Warm weather season. The Bible declares that during this time, God sent David 30 mighty men to help him in battle. How many of us knows we can't do it by ourselves? This is a team effort. And there's no I's in team. We need God's help. And God sends help from my brothers and my sisters that are sensitive enough to the Spirit of God's leading to be willing, key word, willing, to obey God's call. Many will be called in this last day hour, but only a few will adhere, really understand the call, and then by faith walk in that calling to become a true chosen vessel that can be fit for the Master's use. God has got a plan in this last day hour. I believe that this end time harvest of souls that's going to be reaped, it's going to be by men and women of God. I believe it's going to be by a bunch of nobodies personally. I don't believe it's going to be by your big names with all their satellites and radios. Thank God for ministries that are preaching truth. But the only way you can get into the uttermost parts of the earth to reach these tribes in Africa that we've went in and reached with Pastor Powers from Virginia. Some of these Inca tribes that I still have on my heart, Pastor Rick, to hook up with Pastor Jose. There's literally tribes that are living in the mountain ranges of Africa and Mexico where there's no internet, where there's no satellites, where there's no electricity. Amen. Are you listening to me? There's some places that the gospel has not reached. That's why we need laborers. And I'm feeling the Holy Ghost already. We need laborers to understand the plan of God and get the mind of the Spirit. How many of us knows that the footsteps of a righteous man or a man of God or a woman of God are ordered of the Lord? It's not by accident that this brother from Canada is here this morning. I don't know what God may speak to him and his wife and some of you young people that are visiting and those of you that are here. I don't know what the Lord may speak to you from this word, but I'm here to tell you God has got a plan for this last day hour, and he wants to use his people to do his work. But we must be willing. And we must be obedient. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 13. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold, in a garrison, a place of protection of the Philistines. Let's read it again. Verse 14. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. They had lodged and made their troop in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." He made a request. Whether he was making a request known unto God is what my personal opinion is. He wasn't speaking to his men, but he was speaking it out loud in the midst of these mighty men. These were men that knew how to come under the authority of David. They were willing. They knew what God had called them to do, which was to be under subjection to David and do all that he had commanded them. Would to God we would have some people in this last day hour that would hear God and hear his voice and not hesitate to obey what God has called them to do. Help us not to just be hearers of the word only, but help us, Lord, to be doers of the word of God. David spoke, I believe, out loud, maybe in a request unto the Lord. The Bible says, and he longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men, three men heard what David said. And he broke through the host of the Philistines. They broke through the enemy lines. And they went to this well that had this water and drew water out of this well of Bethlehem. They went there. They broke through the Philistines. They got the water out of the well. Now they have the water and they've got to go back and take it to King David. This was his request. This was what he was longing and desiring for. David was thirsty. He was thirsty. How many of us are thirsty this morning? How many of us have been fighting the enemy? We know we're protected in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. David was in the hold. He was in the garrison. He was in a place of protection. But his soul, Amen. I want you to hear me today. It wasn't his natural mouth that was thirsty. Some would think about this in a natural sense. And though we do get thirsty in the natural, and it's a beautiful parallel in the spirit, that brothers and sisters, just as much as we get thirsty for water on a hot day of work, or we're out doing activity that is strenuous and causing us to sweat, how many of us know that Gatorade sometimes just doesn't get it? Amen. And soda just doesn't quench your thirst. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes there's only one thing that can quench my thirst when I'm tired, when I'm weary, and when I've been laboring. Amen. It's only a good cool drink of water that will satisfy the thirsting that is within me. Can you say amen? He was thirsty. And I believe he was maybe praying, talking to the Lord. Here they are in a confined area, a small little area of protection, like a little fort, tired and weary of the battle. I look around and there's a lot of us that are tired. We're weary because the devil knows his time is short. He's coming at us from every angle. He's doing everything he can to hinder us. He's bringing all types of affliction upon our bodies. He's bringing situations to come against us that we've never faced before. We're being attacked, and I preached and ministered and told you a few weeks back, and I know it was the Spirit of the Lord that spoke to me, and I told you that he is going to come in a more camouflaged, subtle way of approach of attacking us. He's not going to attack you and come against you the ways that he's always come against you. But your enemy, the devil, he's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. That's why the Bible tells us to be sober. Have a sound mind. Don't be caught up thinking about it. You need to pay attention. The devil's going to be coming against everyone. You young children, the devil wants to destroy your lives. That world out there wants to destroy your lives. You look at the drugs and the alcohol that's destroying the lives of our young people in this nation and around the world. That's why we need to protect these young people and train them up in the ways of the Lord. Amen. And when they get older, they shall not depart from it. We got to train them right. Can you say amen? What are you desiring? Or if you want to take it this way, are you thirsty? What are you thirsting for? What are you hungering for more than anything? And David longed for the water. Give me a drink of water of the well of Bethlehem. Not just any well. It was a specific well. A specific place. A lot of wells we can drink from. But he had a desire, a longing, something deep down within his heart and his soul that hungered and thirsted for the well that was in Bethlehem. I feel the Holy Ghost, and I'm starting to feel the rivers of living water. Help me, church, to preach this morning, because there's some of us here that have a longing, and we're hungry, and we're thirsty. And I don't know about you, but I'm thirsty this morning. I got a drink last night, and I got a drink throughout this week in prayer meeting, but I'm still thirsty this morning. I'm still thirsty for the water. Oh, at Bethlehem. Amen. Are you thirsty this morning? Oh, that one would give me a drink of water of the well of Bethlehem. It was a specific well. That word longed means to have a strong desire. You ever desired something and you wanted something so bad that literally you could not get your mind off of that which you were wanting and desiring? There's a lot of us that have desires today. We have natural desires. Some of these desires are not desires that God has put there. They're desires that the enemy can put there. There's a natural desire to fulfill the lust of the flesh. I love to eat good food. I love the Mexican food when we go down to Mexico. For a while, I desire it. I like it. After a while, I don't desire it anymore. Amen. You ever just ate a certain type of food? I like chicken. How many like chicken here? But I don't want to eat chicken every night. You start to get all, what would they say, to speak in plain terms, all chickened out. You just don't want any more chicken. Can I preach to you plainly here this morning? I'll preach to you here in a few minutes. Just let me get to where I need to be. What is your desire this morning? What do you want in your life more than anything? Some of us have children that aren't saved. Some of us have family members that aren't saved. Some of us have the desire to see them come to an altar and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is a desire. That is a longing. That is something you want. That is good. David desired to have a drink of this water. This was a water that was not like just any water. This was water from the well of Bethlehem. It was a pure, cool, crisp water, I bet. I did a little study about this well, and I understand that this water came out of a rock. It came out of rocks. How many of us know that rocks have a way of purifying water? This water was a pure, crisp, clean water. We as believers, if our hearts are right with the Lord, we will desire those things that are pure, that are clean, that are unadulterated, that are not contaminated. I don't want to drink some muddy, dirty, nasty water. Amen. When I'm thirsty, the only thing that will do for me is crisp, cool, clean water that is pure. How many of us know when we drink the wrong water, it can make you sick? And it's not too pleasant. I learned that on my first trip to Mexico. I thought I was pretty good, and then when I got on the plane on the last day for 6-7 hours, I wasn't too good. That plane trip wasn't too pleasant, praise God. I got into some contaminated water, and I drank it. It looked clean, it looked crisp, it looked good, but it had something within it, an element of something, bacteria or something, that got down inside of me and made me sick to my stomach. And I'll leave it at that. But praise God, for 2 weeks, I was not right. I'm here to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of wells out here. There's a lot of water out here, young people. There's a lot of things where some of us have been drinking from wells that we should not be drinking from. And I'm here to warn you, you begin to drink of the wrong well. If you begin to have a desire for things that are contaminated by the world and things that are contaminated by the flesh, I'm here to warn you that they will spiritually spiritually and physically start to contaminate your soul and your body, and it will begin to destroy you. Where is your desire? What are you longing for? Do we have a hunger and a thirst for God? Do we have a hunger and thirst for righteousness and truth? I know we live in a generation that loves pleasure more than they love God. Oh, help me this morning, church. Amen. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, we need to have a desire for truth and for righteousness. Things that are clean, things that are holy, things that are righteous. Can you say amen? Amen. But there's too many of us that have desires and longings, amen, to allow ourselves to drink from wells that are not pure. Jesus made a statement in the book of John in chapter 7, in verse 37, in the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." John 7 and 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man," this is an invitation for anybody. It's not just for a specific people. It's not just for a particular denomination. This is anybody that has a desire, that has a hunger, that has a thirst. Oh, God. God is gracious, brothers and sisters. Amen. This isn't some monopoly on, he said, "Whomsoever will, let him come and drink of the rivers of life." Hey, I want some water, but I don't just want any water. I want the pure, unadulterated water that comes from the well of Bethlehem. I want the water, the living water that comes from God. Can you say amen? In order for you to desire this water, I don't believe you can have a true desire. Listen to me now. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I got to pull the reins now. Don't want to get the cart before the horse. I feel this. In order for you to have a desire for something, you must first have a taste. There's some things that I've tasted that I have no desire to eat anymore. There's some things that I've drank in the past that I have no desire to drink anymore. Can you say amen? Certain things I just don't want to drink anymore, Sister Veronica. But then there's certain things I got a taste of. Are you listening, church? There's a certain taste. Man, give me another drink of that. Are you listening? You ever just drank something and you said, "Man, that's good. Boy, that's tasty. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah." Amen. I begin to wonder, amen, about some of these folks that go around drinking from these wells that aren't from Bethlehem. Some folks that are going around drinking this and that and tasting this and that, if they've ever really tasted from this well, from this living well, this water. I begin to really wonder. Amen. Because I'll tell you this right now, there's only certain things that I want to drink that I know are good for me. Amen. I don't want to drink anything that's bad for me. And a lot of times we don't know it's bad for us till after we've drank it. Can you say amen? In order for you to have a desire to drink, you must be willing to come to a place of having a desire, a longing like David, a longing not just for any well, but the water that comes out of the well of Bethlehem. He was tired. He was thirsty. You know, there's only some water. Oh, hallelujah. There's only some drinks that we can drink that will satisfy us to the point where we know that we are content and that I feel refreshed. If you ever drink some things and you just got to keep on drinking it, it has no nutritional value to it. It has nothing within it that's helping you to be strengthened. Amen. They put all this Gatorade stuff out there and it tastes good, but if you really start to read the back label and understand all that's within it, a bunch of sugars and stuff like that, it's got a little good, but it's got a lot of bad too. It makes you feel good for a little while. It gives you a little strength, but after a while, amen, you almost feel like you're coming down off of some type of drug or something, because all of a sudden you're up on the sugars and then you're down real quick. But I'm here to tell you that if you get a good clean glass of water. Amen. I'm talking about good water, not contaminated water. And you begin to drink that water. That water has a taste to it that will satisfy you in the depths of your soul and your spirit. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm preaching this morning, brothers and sisters? He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living water that comes from God and His Spirit. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 quickly. I got a lot to cover. 1 Peter 2:1 you can have a strong desire for something until you have either, by the sense of taste, tasted it. Then once you get a taste of it, you want more. You want more. You want more. Amen. And that just a desire. That's a longing. You ever had that longing for a certain type of food? Give me more. Give me more. In 1 Peter chapter 2, you have it, say amen. Verse number 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If ye have tasted. This is predicated on, have you tasted? I begin to wonder if some have really tasted of this water. You ever watched a child? I have 5 children, and I watched my younger ones when they were being weaned. My wife breastfed them, and I'll tell you, one of the most contenting things to look at is after a child has been breastfed, they just lay there and just... so content, so just, their bodies are just all relaxed and, amen, they were content because that filled them, that satisfied them, that which the mother had brought them the nourishment and the contentment and the satisfaction that they needed from breastfeeding, amen, amen. And they, oftentimes when you try to wean them, amen, there's a different story. You ever seen them? I mean, they're ripping at my wife and he's wanting to get at, it's feeding time, brother. How many of us know that's what babies do when they're hungry? They want to rip at my wife's blouse and it's not time. It's not, no, but he has a desire, brother Johnny. He has a desire. He wants more of that milk. He's got a taste of something good. You ain't hearing me this morning. I said he's tasting something that's good and he's doing all that he can to scratch and cry and scream and holler and say, give me a drink of that milk because I'm thirsty. That's what that child is saying. When you get a taste of this water, hallelujah, if so be ye have tasted. I tell you why the thirst ain't in some of you for the Spirit of God. Because you've never really tasted You've never really tasted. You ain't hearing me. I'll tell you this right now. You get a taste of the Holy Ghost. You get a taste of the Spirit of God. You get a taste of the rivers of living water. And you begin to feel the presence of the Shekinah glory of the Almighty God. There's nothing that compare to being in the presence of the Almighty God. Oh, I wish somebody would hear what I'm preaching this morning. I begin to wonder if some of you have really tasted by the way that you're looking at me, because I'm here to tell you, when you get a taste of the rivers of living water, amen, when you get a taste of the well that is at Bethlehem, it's not just any water, but it's a water that satisfies the heart and woman and any man, boy, and child. And I'll tell you, if you get a real taste of this water, amen, it's a sincere desire that will well up in your heart and desire to want to drink and drink again and drink again. Give me more of that living water, because I'm thirsty. Hallelujah. How many are thirsty this morning? Hallelujah to God. Some of you don't raise your hand because you have never tasted. Hallelujah. Because I tell you what, if you get a taste of this water, you get a taste of this Spirit, amen, it's going to leave a hungering and a thirsting in the depths of your soul. That's all that you desire, is one more, Lord. One more, just like the alcohol in the hearts of some. They can't get away from the bar stool. They just need one more drink. They just need one more hit of that cocaine. They just need one more suck down of that cigarette. They just need to get one more hit of that bong and smoke their marijuana. They just need to have one more indulgence into the lust of their flesh to enjoy the pleasures of sin. But I'm here to tell you, I've done all those things that I just named, and there's nothing that compares to the water that I got to drink out of, the river of living water that comes from the well of Bethlehem. I'm telling you, once I got a drink of that water, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, I might look like a fanatic up here preaching this morning, but I'm feeling the rivers of living water flow through my soul right now. And I'm here to tell you, I'm hungry, I'm thirsting for another move of God. I am thirsty for a move of God's Spirit. Can you say amen? How many are really hungry? How many are really thirsty? I'm thirsty for a move of God. I'm thirsty for a moving of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. If so, that ye be, that you have tasted. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Hey, brother, have you tasted this drink before? No, I've never tasted it. You taste it one time, and I'm here to tell you, you're going to be wanting to go and get it every day. Oh, I wish somebody would hear what I'm preaching this morning. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you that when you get a taste of... Oh, hallelujah! When you get a taste of God's Spirit, there's nothing that compares to the joy of knowing that you have drank of the rivers of living water. Oh, glory to God. Nothing can compare to that. Amen. In Psalm 63, you don't have to turn to it if you don't want to. Amen. Oh, God, that thou art my... I will seek ye early, oh, God. I will. My soul thirsteth for thee, O Lord. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I don't know about you, but brothers and sisters, I've been to a few churches in this area and around the world. There's not much water. There's not much food. Amen. I believe God has sent a famine in the land. Amen. His word declares to us that in these last last days. They're going to be hungering for pleasure. They're going to be hungering for things of the world. And I'm talking about the Christian churches in America. They love their pleasure more than they love God. Amen. That's why we're not seeing a revival. God wants to pour out the Spirit of God. He wants to pour out His Spirit upon all that are hungering and thirsting for it. But I'm telling you, the problem that we have today is we don't see our need for the living waters that come from heaven. We don't see our need for it. We don't see our need for the living water. You know why? Because we have too much in the natural. We are living in the Laodicean church age. Jesus' description of the Laodicean church, He said, you say that you have everything. You're increased with goods. You have money. You have your big church buildings. You have all your entertainment. You have all your special meetings. You have all the technology and the satellites. You have all that stuff. Amen. We are increased with goods in this Laodicean church age. That's why we're getting so caught up. Technology's good. It's good, Brother Ricky, but it's got to be very, very delicately planned. We can become self-reliant. Listen. God sees fit to prosper this church and give us an abundance of money to be able to get a nice building and things. I don't need the big old disco lights up above me when I preach. I don't need a man stroking an organ as I preach. I don't need the sound effects to add to a service. Because you know why? I don't want to rely on the lights. I don't want to rely on anything else but the rivers of living water. I don't want to rely on anything else but the Spirit of God. We sang it this morning. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by the Spirit of the living God. And I'm here to tell you, we live in a church age that relies more on their talent. They rely more on their intellectual knowledge. They rely more on the things that they have in the natural rather than getting on their knees before God and crying out saying, Lord, I'm longing. I'm thirsty. Lord, I've got all these mighty men, David said. I've got all these men that are talented, that are be able to handle weapons of war. These men were like the Navy SEALs of biblical days. They could go in and wipe out all of the Philistines. You ain't hearing me. Amen. David noticed that he had very talented men that God sent to him to help him fight the battle. But oh, he wasn't looking at their nice swords. He wasn't looking at their spears. He wasn't looking at their big muscles. He was saying, oh Lord, I'm longing for a drink of water. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. It's too easy to get our mind and our heart and our eyes on the things that are around us and put confidence in the things that are of the natural rather than us to depend on the glory of God and the power that comes from His Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm preaching this morning? Hallelujah. I don't want to rely on anything else for strength. You notice the heart of David, Brother Rick. He wasn't looking at all their armor. He wasn't looking in the natural realm, Brother Ed, at what they had. That's why I don't care what people think of what we have here. We got a few speakers and all that. Praise God for what God's given us. But I'm going to tell you something. When preachers are depending more on sound effects than the Holy Ghost, I'm here to tell you I'm not here to entertain your flesh. I'm not here to help you get excited and make you feel good. But all I'm here to do is to show you that we need to have a desire for the glory of God and the power of His Spirit. I'm thirsty this morning. I'm thirsty this morning for a mighty move of God. I don't care about the satellites. I don't care about all the good things in the natural realm that God has given us to reach and to spread this gospel. If we don't have the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost in our church services, we are but a formality and don't have anything if we don't have the presence of God. Hallelujah. We don't have nothing unless the presence of God is with us. You look at how many times Israel went into battle when they didn't have the ark with them. Oh, when they didn't have the presence of God with them. Listen to me, I fear and tremble. That's why I waited on God to buy my plane tickets down to Mexico. Because I'm going to tell you something, we're facing the mafia. We're facing the Catholic religious spirits. We're facing the spirits of demonic power down in that city of 25 million people. Three men of God going down in the midst of a lion's den. You better know that God is leading you. You better know you have the right equipment spiritually. Amen. You know what I've been doing this week to prepare myself? I've said, Lord, I'm longing. I'm thirsty. Fill me with your power. I don't care about my study time, and though I got to study and prepare, you know what I need to make sure I've got more than study time? I need to make sure that I'm on my knees saying, Lord, help me to get my armor on. Help me to get the sword of the Spirit sharpened. Help me to have those things of the things of the Spirit rather than to depend on the things of the natural. Amen. I can preach the most homiletical sermon down there and demons will laugh. Amen. Yeah. I faced some of those demon-possessed Mexican folks down there. And I'm here to tell you something. Paul I know. Jesus I know. But who are you? You better have what it takes when you stand up against the powers of the devil. And amen. What am I saying this morning? It's not going to be by my intellectual knowledge or my preaching ability. Because God knows I don't preach too good. But if I can get the rivers of living water flowing through my soul, if I can be able to have, hallelujah, a touch of God and the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost with me, hallelujah, I know that no demon in hell can come against a man of God. Amen. Because if God be for us, then who can be against us? Can you say amen?
Hallelujah to God. Amen. I just felt something finally breaking here.
Praise God. Amen. Some of you are maybe getting a little bit thirsty saying, why is he up there gyrating and sweating and getting excited? Because you know why? I've gotten a taste of the water of Bethlehem. Amen. I've gotten a taste of that water. And I'm here to tell you I got a taste of it last night, Brother Ed. I got a taste of it this morning. And then, amen, I was so thirsty, Brother Johnny, I had to leave the Bible study this morning. He did a wonderful job, but I had to go in there and get another drink. Hallelujah. I had to go into the side office and say, Lord, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Fill me with your power, Lord. Oh, I want to have a desire for your presence more than the things that are in the natural. Hallelujah. That's why oftentimes God will seclude men of God and put them all by themselves. Moses, come up onto the mountain. Come up onto the mountain, Moses. I want to show you some things. Oh, hallelujah. How many of us know Moses spent 40 days in the mountain, in the presence of God, fellowshipping with God? Amen. You know why people, amen, don't have God's power and the glory of God in their lives? Because they spend no time in the presence of God. Amen. Let me tell you something. When you spend time in the presence of God, you're going to look a little peculiar. You're going to look a little strange. But I believe that the same Holy Ghost Ghost that anointed the apostles. I believe that the same anointing that anointed Samson, I believe the same anointing, hallelujah, and I feel it right now, the same power, the same spirit that touched these men to go and break through the Philistines and go to the Bethlehem well to get the water for King David. I believe that that same power is in this church today, and we can have a drink of the true and the living waters that come from heaven only if we have a desire, only if we have a desire to taste of this water.
You have to excuse me this morning, folks, from Canada. I feel God's spirit. I've been drinking at the well.
I've been drinking at the well. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. Just like that woman of Samaria that Jesus said, I need be go by the way of Samaria. Amen. He met a woman at the well. And amen. He looked at that woman. And that woman began to, he said, give me a drink of water. And she says, sir, what are you having to do with me? I'm a Samaritan. And he went on to talk to this woman. How many of us know the story? He went on to talk to this woman and said, woman, do you realize who you're talking to? He says, go get your husband and let's have a little talk. And she says, I don't have any husband. He says, yeah, you're speaking it right. He said, you got five husbands and the one you're with is not even yours. She says, I perceive that you might be a prophet. Are you listening? Are you a prophet? Hallelujah. He says, no. You got to realize who I am. He's more than just a prophet. He's more than just any man. He's the Son of the living God. Amen. He's not the well. He's the water in the well. He's the one. He's the one. It's Him. It's His presence. Amen. That will fulfill. Amen. And only thing that can satisfy the longing that's in the depths of every human heart. You might not understand it or even know it, but if you get a taste of the living water that comes from the well of Bethlehem, that water is going to be something that you're going to crave and long for. Trust me, just as much as a drug addict. Amen. Just as much as a drug addict craves that drug and they want to do it over and over and over, but they can never find the satisfaction and fulfill that lust and that desire. They got to keep having it and keep having it and keep having it, and it keeps them in bondage. That's why this nation, brothers and sisters, is so bound to drugs and alcohol. Listen, I know what it's like to be bound to drugs and alcohol and the lust of the flesh, and none of those things ever satisfied my soul. But when I came to Jesus, amen, and I got the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and I tasted of that well, I tasted of the living waters that came down from heaven. I wish some of you would help me preach this morning and say amen. I don't know if you need to get stirred up in your mind by the way of remembrance. Do you remember when you first got a drink of that water? Do you remember when you first felt the presence of God's Spirit like you've never felt it before? Brothers and sisters, it left something within me that had a desire and a longing. David didn't want anything else but the water that came out of Bethlehem. Just to let you in on it, he wasn't talking about that physical water. He was talking spiritual. That's why when you talk to people that are carnally minded, they understand not the things of the Spirit of God. They can't know them. But you talk to a spiritually minded person and tell them about this water. Whoa! Oh man, I remember that water. I remember that Holy Ghost meeting. I remember the first time I got the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Amen. I remember the rivers of living water that day as I raised my hands towards heaven and I accepted Christ into my heart. Amen. I got a double dose that morning. I got salvation and then I got the baptism in the Holy Ghost right after I got saved. And then the rivers of living water, it felt like hot oil was poured over me. I felt the glory of God flow through me and I begin to speak in tongues. And as I'm thinking about it, I begin to get thirsty right now. I don't know about some of you, but are you thirsty this morning? Amen. If you aren't hungering and thirsting for another move of God, you got to realize that we are in a dry, in a dead nation that, amen, has turned their back on God. And if we don't get a revival of the Holy Ghost power of God, we are going to see many lives die spiritually if they don't get a taste of the Spirit and a taste of the water that comes out of the well of Bethlehem. Can you say amen?
Hallelujah, God.
We better get to the right well. There's only one well that provides this water. Have you tasted of this well? Have you tasted? I don't think some of you have tasted because I don't see that desire, that longing, that craving. Oh, brothers and sisters, we're craving for the things of the flesh. We get more excited about going out to eat and having a steak and mashed potatoes and green beans more than we do a good Holy Ghost service at church. Come on, somebody. We get more excited about a football game or a hockey game rather than we do a good, mighty outpouring of God's Spirit, amen, in a church service. Go ahead and say amen because it's true. We live in a generation that loves everything in this world. And I'm not preaching to the sinner. I'm talking about our people in the church. I've been calling for prayer meetings here. And amen. Some of you, I don't know what you're doing, but you haven't showed up to too many of them. You aren't thirsty. You aren't thirsty. You aren't desiring. You really haven't had a taste of this water. Amen. I'm a pastor of the church and I'm here to correct you and let you know, unless you get to the well of Bethlehem, unless you get a taste of this water, you're not gonna make it in this dry and desert wasteland. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, we need a moving of God's Spirit. The only way the Spirit of God is going to get poured out is when His people have a hunger and a thirst for it. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. What are we hungering for? Hallelujah, Brother Johnny. Where's our hunger at, brothers and sisters? What are you craving and longing for? Amen. What consumes your mind, young people? Are you more excited about getting onto the Facebook than you are coming to church? Are you more excited? Amen. I'm preaching right where some of you are at. You might as well say amen. I'm helping you. I'm helping you. We love pleasure. We love pleasure. We love pleasure more than we love God. We get more excited about the sports games more than we do God. This is the way it needs to be preached. Because a lot of the preachers won't preach it because it's not popular. It won't sell books and tapes. I'm here to tell you this is the problem. We have more of a desire and a hunger to fulfill the senses and the lust of our flesh more than we are willing to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. Paul said we've got to die. We've got to kill the flesh and the lust of the flesh, because if we are led by the lust of our flesh will lead us into a land that is barren and dry, and there'll be no water to drink in that land. He was talking to that woman at the well. said, "Woman, you drink of this water and you'll thirst again." That natural water, you're going to thirst. Are you listening? Are you following me? The natural water. She had her big old bucket, probably going to do her dishes and maybe have some water for some tea or take care of her husband or whatever. Remember, she had a husband. She had five of them, but the one she was with wasn't her husband, he said. Said, "Go get her. Go get him." And are you a prophet? She had her bucket and she was having a conversation one-on-one with the Son of God. You know where you get this living water? Oh, you know where you get this living water? Oh, you know where you get this living water? Is you've got to get into the presence of Jesus. You got to talk to Jesus. You got to begin to talk to Him. You got to begin to realize who He is. He's not just a prophet. He's the Son of God. He is the one that can pour out His Spirit and give you that which you're longing for. That woman had her little bucket. Run in there and go get me that bucket, brother. The tithe basket, quickly. Hallelujah. I'll be closing in a few minutes. Can you give me just a few more minutes, church? I know we're hungry and thirsty in the natural. Comes a time where the things of the natural have got to be put aside. We've got to make some sacrifices to spend more time with God. In prayer. He went out of His way for that woman. He didn't have to go by Samaria. You look at the map and study it. He went way out of His way to meet up with her. For one woman. He's gone out of His way to come down from heaven. And to meet with us. Has He ever left you? Has He ever forsaken you? Has He always been there in your time of affliction, in your time of heartache and pain, in the time where you were most miserable? It's because of His mercies that you are not consumed. It's because of His grace and His mercy that He'll go out of His way and minister to your every need. Hallelujah. For one person, He'll go out of His way. One soul. This old adultery woman had five husbands living in adultery. But He cared for that woman. He went out of His way for that woman. Hallelujah. You know where the ministers of the gospel have gotten off track? They think too big. Listen to me. They think too big. We got to reach thousands. We got to reach thousands. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Brother Rick, this woman was sitting there with her bucket. Once He revealed Himself to her, says, "Woman, if you know who I am," they began to talk about those that worship in spirit and in truth. And she goes, "I know that Messiah is going to come. Messiah is going to come." He goes, "The one that you speak with, I am the Christ. I am that one." Amen. And you know what she did, Sister Veronica? She had her bucket full of water, and she was at the water. It took a long time to fill up that bucket. You got to understand that when they got water out of the well, they had to go way, way deep to get the water. Are you listening to me? It was labor to get that bucket of water. They had to go deep. They had to put some effort into getting the water out of the well. They had to crank it down 40, 50 feet sometimes. And I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now to tell you, if you're going to want to get a taste of this water, you're going to have to labor. You're going to have to labor. You're going to have to cry out to God. She began to take her water full. Ah, that bucket full, which she probably spent 15 minutes or so filling up her bucket. Amen. And all to once when He said, "I am He. I am the Son of God." She dropped that bucket and she ran back to her home. Amen. She didn't care about that bucket full of water anymore. She had had an encounter of the true and the living water of God. Amen. She didn't care about the water in the bucket. Amen. And let me tell you something. She ran back to her home. And the Bible declares that she told her friends and family and everybody, amen, come and see. Come and see. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When you have a real experience with the Holy Ghost, when you have an encounter with the Almighty God, you're going to want to tell people. You're not going to care about the water in your bucket. You're not going to care about the things of the flesh. You aren't going to care about the entertainment. Amen. You aren't going to care about the fun and games. You're going to want to tell somebody about Jesus. You're going to want to say, come and see a man. Come and see this man that gave me a drink of the living water. Hallelujah. You know why she didn't need her bucket? Brother, you know why she didn't need her bucket? Because she had the real water. She had her bucket on the inside. She filled her bucket up on the inside. Amen. She got a drink of the true and the living water that comes from God. Can you say amen? Amen, amen. Somebody say amen. Give God glory this morning. Somebody give God glory. Hallelujah. Forget about that bucket. She didn't care about all the time she spent filling up that water in that natural bucket. She was so excited. She was so excited that the Bible declares when she went back and testified of who she met up with, that many of the Samaritans, now you got to understand, the Samaritans and the Jewish people had nothing to do with one another. Jesus was in a territory. You listening? Basically, heathens to the Jews. You know where the gospel needs to be penetrated? We don't need to reach thousands and thousands. Let's just reach one. And then let them go and say, come and see. Come and see this man. Come and see this water that I got a drunk. Oh, you ain't listening to me. This water. I'm talking about the river of living water. Hallelujah to God. I'm talking about this water. She ran to her family. And the Bible says that Jesus stayed a couple more days in the midst of the Samaritan town. And he said he got a few more people to believe. Not because of her words. Not because of that woman's testimony. That got them enough to come to the well. Come and see this man. You know what's sad is we got a lot of people that get invited to church, but when they come to the church, there's no water to drink. Nobody's been laboring for the Spirit to move. We have, how much time do we spend watching television? Be honest with yourself. Rather than being on your knees praying. Lovers of pleasure. I love you, church. That's why we're dry. That's why we're thirsty, Ed. That's why the presence of God is not in the church. We're concerned about filling up our buckets full of flesh and carnal and things of the natural. We're more concerned about the things of the world more than we are getting into the presence of God and receiving from Him. Let's be honest with ourselves. How much time do we spend with our technological things? Our computers. We're too tired. We're too weary. Lord, I don't want to crank the bucket down into that well. I'm tired. I'm tired tonight. I just got off work, Lord. It's much easier to sit my feet back up on the recliner and click the television on and flip, flip, flip. Or click, click, click. Hallelujah. You might as well say amen. You might as well say amen. Church, this is where we're at. And we wonder why our children are dying. We wonder why the children are backslidden. We wonder why there's so much adultery and fornication in the churches. Because there's no water flowing in the church. Nobody's willing to put labor into going and getting some water. Amen. Those men heard David make the request. Amen. Oh, I long for a drink of the water. He wasn't necessarily talking about that water in the natural. He was talking about being in the presence of the Almighty God. Because in His presence is what? The fullness of joy. In His presence is the fullness of peace that passes all understanding. And in His presence, brothers and sisters, hey, we will have joy. We will have peace. Amen. And the joy of the Lord and being in His presence will give you strength. Hallelujah. You've got to start to drop your bucket down into that well. I'm closing in just a few moments. We need to be willing to labor in prayer. We need to be willing to push away from the plate. When God tells us to push away from the plate, God ordains fasts, and then sometimes we're fasting in the flesh. God isn't leading us into the fast. We got to have a word and know that God's leading us to fast. That's why we struggle fasting. When the Holy Ghost says, I want you to fast, yeah, the first day or two is going to be hard. Once you get past that and you realize that, oh, and the rivers of living water start to flow in your prayer time, and you start to get alone with God, and there's no distractions of food, and you're not concerned about your Taco Bell and your steak on the grill and your spaghetti dinner. Amen. Amen. You won't be concerned about that stuff, because you know what will be filling you up? Just like that woman dropped that water pot and ran. Yes, you won't care, amen, about pulling up to the dinner table at night when you get home. You'll run down to your prayer closet. You'll run down into your prayer room. You'll want to go to the well. You'll want to go into the place where God can give you the desires of your heart. The Bible declares to us when we delight ourselves in the Lord, who will give us the desires of our heart? He will give us the desires of our heart. Can you say amen? In closing, I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture. We're going to see the power and the glory of God. We've got to understand that our hearts must have a longing and a desire. Psalm 42, 1 and 2, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Is your heart panting? Is your heart desiring to be in the presence of God, or are you wanting to go do something else and be in the presence of others and doing other things? My soul thirsts for God, for the God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before thee? Oh God. Isaiah 55 and 1 says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, ye come. Come to the waters and drink. You don't need money to drink of this water. It doesn't cost anything. Just a willingness to come to Him and cry out for it. Psalm 34 and 8 says that we need to taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Nothing's going to satisfy you like Jesus, young people. All your friends and all them can be smoking dope and drinking alcohol and going to the parties and flirting around and playing with the lust of the flesh. But young people, Pastor Davis is here to tell you plainly, I've been there. It doesn't satisfy your soul. These are empty wells. They're empty. Alcohol will leave you empty. Sex and drugs will leave you empty. Fun and games and violence will leave you empty. The only thing that can satisfy you to where you'll have true joy, true peace, is knowing that you're serving Jesus with all your heart and having a desire to serve Him. Now, I'm going to be praying for you, young people. I'm so glad you came this morning. Jesus loves you. You didn't come here by accident. And I'm going to be praying that Jesus protects you and keeps you from all of the evil of this world. Listen, and you adults, young, if these young people don't, if we don't see a revival, if New England, if Canada, if Mexico, if we don't see a move of God, we're going to lose them. There is more thirst in the hearts of our young people for the pleasures and fun and games of this world. Oh God. And even for a lot of church folks that are adults that have tasted. That's why the Bible declares it's better for us not to have known, not to have tasted the heavenly things, and for us to turn away from those heavenly living waters that have satisfied us at one time and turn back to the beggarly elements of the world. We've got to have a move of God. In order for us to see this come to pass, we're going to have to delight ourselves in God's will. And His will is that we as a people understand that just as Solomon spoke to the congregation in the dedicating of the temple in the 2 Chronicles in 7:14, he said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray," we've got to come to God in humility and in prayer, which is labor. This is how we get the water to flow, is humbling ourselves before God, starting to long and thirst and see our need for God. That Laodicean church age is here. And I'll be closing. Give me 5 more minutes. The Laodicean church says we're in need of nothing. We are increased with goods. Look at our big churches. Look at our bank accounts. Look at our private jets. Look at our satellite TV programs. Listen, all that's wonderful. But I'm telling you, in this last day hour, revival is going to start one soul at a time. Just like this Samaritan woman that Jesus, they had a little revival there in that town. These people were in a dry and thirsty land. I'm going down to Mexico, and I'll tell you, it's dry down there. They're begging us, come, come. And I'm just telling them, look, I'm just a vessel. If I don't come with the water, amen, the water, the true and the living water that comes from God, I have nothing to offer. And that's what a lot of the churches are doing. They're offering fun and games, programs. Listen, we don't have a lot to offer here. And I'm not against fun and games if it's done decently and in order. Are you listening? But if these young children come to church, my children, and some of your children come to church, and they don't get an experience with God and get a true drink of this living water and a true experience of God's Spirit for themselves, that world will destroy them. There's only one thing that can keep us from the powers of darkness in that world. There's only one power that can help us to overcome that, and that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Our young people are going to have to be filled with the Spirit of God. Us older folks, we're going to have to be so filled with the power of God's Spirit if we're going to be overcomers in this last day hour. I'm telling you, we're not going to be able to stand unless we have it. Hallelujah. As we close, stand with me. We're going to have to delight ourselves in the Lord, and then He will give us the desires of our heart.